With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati Podcast, episode 197. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by the Max and Ivan of LA, Alex and Jesse.
Don't know who that is.
Is that
I'm
like
Ivan
a...
for sure?
They're a British comedy duo known collectively as Max and Ivan, and they are the creators, writers, and stars of the BBC Radio 4 series, The Casebook of Max and Ivan.
When Dean shakes his head, like, I don't know, bro. That's how you know this is a deep cut.
This feels like contemporary.
Yeah, they're pretty the 2007 to they started in 2007.
Max and Ivan, I thought was going to be like Russian propagandists.
No, without anything, I'm Ivan. Without any, I'm looking at pictures of them.
Yeah, I'm more of a Max. Yeah. I believe
that. Well, it was going to be that, or it was going to be Cannon and Ball, but I feel like we did Cannon and Ball before.
Cannon and Ball is just two items. That's not.
And so definitely, like, someone should talk to them about their marketing. They should be called Cannon Ball. Why are we Cannon and Ball? I understand you're two different people, but you could have just been like, we're Cannon Ball instead of we're Cannon and Ball.
I don't know. I have no opinion.
I don't know. Someone send them this podcast. That's free. That's on me. You can take that, Cannon and Ball.
Max and Ivan do South by Southwest, so I guess they're international performers.
You could start making these up at any point, and I would be like, yeah, that's me.
Maybe it'll happen. Maybe. I'm not saying I won't make something up at some point, and I won't tell you when it's going to happen, and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Next week, it's going to be like Glinkus and Minkus.
I'm definitely...
Glorfus and
I'm definitely
Slormo.
A Glinkus. You're definitely Minkus, and Minkus, I'm definitely
are
Glinkus.
Are like two characters from Boy Meets World, I think.
Farkus and Glormy Gorfus.
I'm Farkus, and you're Glormy Gorfus for sure.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
I can tell.
Dingleberry and the Hop Master.
I'll be Dingleberry. You're the Hop Master.
I'm the Hop Master. Yeah. That checks out. Yeah. This is easy. Yeah. I can do this.
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, mine are all factual. They are people who exist. Well,
I mean, true.
They live in, if they're from the UK, are they real people?
I want to believe.
Yeah. Madison has no idea what that means. He has no idea. Nope.
I want to believe. I know that's a poster, right?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
X-Files. Got it. Thank you, Producer Dean, for giving me some hand signals. Guys, I know we got an episode to go into, and I know you got to pitch your Patreon stuff, but I need to talk about this because it's just been crazy for the past 2 weeks. Aliens and ghosts for me in particular. I need to update you boys on some weird shit that's been happening in my
aliens
life.
Aliens and ghosts?
In your life?
Yes. Yes. It's driving me nuts. So I texted you boys about that other thing.
Yes.
Pause.
I am going to tell the story and clarify so people fully understand.
Right. No. Before you do any of this.
And it all can be explained as something else. I'm not saying it is. I just want to put them out there, Jesse.
Right. No. Of course. I wouldn't even disparage you, my man. I don't want to hear this. I want to hear the story.
That's why you're the Max and Alex is the Ivan.
I'm Ivan for sure.
Right. I mean, obviously. But I'm not going to like give you a hard time. I just want to know how high were you during this time period?
Okay. So actually for the star in the sky, not at all. I'll explain why I was unfortunate.
That could be that could be the problem, but all right.
For the weird things that have been happening around the house, on and off, it's been little weird things that can be like, I'm at high
nothing,
for some
nothing
of it.
Above baseline.
Not high.
Nothing above baseline.
Nothing above
just
baseline.
Just high as you always are.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And thank you to patreon.com for allowing me to live a life fully influenced by weed. So the first one, I told you guys this in the text. I just got to get it out there.
God.
I was driving home from seeing some people who, let's just say if I was high while seeing them, it wouldn't go over well out here in the wonderful state of Texas.
Gotcha.
And we're driving home and I was just chilling, looking at, I was a passenger, not driving. So you know, I'm not supposed to be paying attention to the road. I'm just looking up at the sky because one thing about Texas that I do like, one of the few things, is the night sky is gorgeous. It's fucking gorgeous.
Big sky country.
It is beautiful all the time. And I was looking out the front window and I just saw this like orange light that I thought was a star because, you know, Venus and Jupiter, yeah, have been very visible lately, especially up there. And so I thought it was just that. And I was looking at it and I maybe looked at it for 2 seconds before it didn't like disappear. It didn't like zip away. It like dimmed like someone took, you know, those dimming like controls on the side for a room and like dimmed it to off. It went shoop and just disappeared. It was a cloudless night. It wasn't like raining.
Now, just for the people at home, really quick, you went shoop like a circle wipe. Did it close like that? Did it like envelope shut?
Yeah, it went in from all sides. So kind of like shoop, like into itself.
Interesting. Okay.
And it just was gone. And I don't, it could be, maybe it was like a meteorite in the sky or something. Maybe it was like, I don't know. I saw it for 2 fucking seconds before it disappeared on me and looked weird. And I was genuinely was like, did you see that? And it was just, I don't know. It could be something completely natural, but it was like, you know me, man, I'm gonna get excited about that shit. And maybe it was a meteorite. But even if it was a meteorite,
that's the best you're ever gonna get.
That's fine. Because even if it was a meteorite, that's still fucking cool too. Yeah. You don't get to see that too often. But if anybody out there knows, like, can like something hit the atmosphere or do something where it looks like it kind of dims to off?
What if
without leaving, it didn't have a trail. It wasn't moving. It was stationary.
What if you saw the last like 5 seconds of a flare?
That'd be cool. I mean, I was Texas. I mean, I'd have to look at. I don't think it was a flare because it wasn't red and it wasn't like
you got the sense no trail of quite smoke far away.
It just looked like a star. It looked like an orange star in the sky. Like. That's all I can explain. It didn't look closer than a star. Just it didn't like pulse. Yeah, it wasn't moving. Like it didn't do anything other than just kind of
behave strangely. Yeah.
Yeah. That was it. It could be anything. Could be a drone.
Maybe you're on the Truman Show.
Could be. I wonder if could. I mean, yeah, but it wasn't moving. So I don't know. Jesse, sorry. I feel like I cut you off.
No. So I'm trying to find it right now. And I wanted to send it to you earlier this week, but I was like, I'll wait until the show.
Okay.
And now I can't find it. It's driving me crazy, but
that's fine.
Basically, there was a video that was doing the rounds earlier this week of a pilot being interviewed. And I'm not sure what show it was on. I feel like it's probably Joe Rogan since that's all the clips that exist on the internet these days.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it was a pilot and he was talking about how for years he and his buddies, be it in the Air Force or just commercial planes, whatever, would purposefully fly weird patterns.
Oh yeah,
you told us this before. Purposely turn their lights on and off just to mess with people, and and they were like, "So you're trying to be UFOs?" He's like, "Oh yeah."
No, that doesn't surprise me at all. Like that doesn't surprise me whatsoever. It was stationary. It wasn't moving, and it definitely didn't have any blinking lights on it like a commercial plane that are all over the sky that I see all the time. It just was an orange light that looked like a star. It wasn't huge.
Oh no, I'm not saying what you saw was that. I'm saying now that I hear that, I'm like, I don't believe none of these UFOs.
Oh yeah.
Everyone all right. out there, everyone's lying to everyone.
I'm saying we gotta call maintenance at the Mathis habitat and have them.
Yeah, well, that was just on the road
star
somewhere, man.
X-931 inside of his enclosure. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the last thing I'll talk about is just like, you know how I had these little like weird events of things falling off the shelf and I just like it was infrequent.
Yes.
That hadn't stopped, so to speak. Like, I can't tell if it's something
what
just
you,
like the
what
way
is, what you
I
saying,
placed
What would you say the rate is? Like, how fast, how often is this happening?
I would say maybe once every week and a half to 2 weeks.
That's pretty
not
good.
Often.
That's pretty good, though.
It's not like, so you're looking at once, maybe twice a month.
It's regular. You know what I mean?
The last three things that happened to me, however, were way different than anything else. First, I was sitting on the couch playing a game or something, and I thought a cat jumped up behind me because, you know, when you feel the weight on a couch behind you and you kind of sink back and you get used to what a cat feels like. I have two of them and they do it all the time. So I thought it was just one of my cats. I turn around or pet it and there's nothing there. No cat is nearby. And I look at it and Jess looks at me super confused. And I'm like, did a cat jump up here? She saw nothing, felt nothing. And she's like, no. I'm like, all right, I swear I felt it. Then I saw two things the past 4 days and it's been very weird. And again, one of those situations where I don't know what else, like it could be something, maybe just my brain playing tricks on me, but it's the first time I've seen something physical twice. So I was leaving my office after playing my night, like my hour of Chaos Gate that I've been playing every night lately. I got up, I took my headphones off, I put them on my mic, and I turned toward the door and I saw what I thought was the back half of one of my cats, Blaze, who's a black cat, zip out the room. There were lights on. I had a light on over here and there was the hallway light on. So it wasn't just pitch black. And I was like, oh, Blaze. And I saw, and Ollie followed me because Ollie was with me. And I went around and there was no Blaze. And I was like, maybe he ran down the stairs. I went downstairs and he's dead asleep upside down in a ball. And I'm like, what? Okay. Weird.
Maybe he was faking it.
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, very textbook.
More impressive than if there was a ghost, honestly.
Textbook shadow person, though, right?
Yeah, but it looked like a cat. It was very weird because then the same thing happened again as I was sitting on the couch in my living room and I turned my head. But this time I'm just seeing, instead of just seeing a back half, I thought I saw Blaze run into the bedroom like he always does. And I was like, oh, all right, see ya. And I turned to the kitchen where I was going and there's Ollie, my other cat, sitting in front of where the litter box is. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude? And he's not letting Blaze out. And so Blaze is right there. He's like guarding Blaze. So it was another one of, and that was the last one. And then I haven't had anything happen since. No, and that was, I would say that's been 4 days now since that one, or 3 days since
that. So can
that.
I ask you a question then? Like a pretty, you know.
Was I stoned?
No. Are you leaning towards my cat has psychic powers or there's a ghost cat?
If the option is one of the two, I'm going to go with ghost cat.
Yeah.
Because this neighborhood this neighborhood has so many fucking cats.
Is there any way that you can has anybody lived in your house recently that's had a cat?
Well, before me, apparently just a dude and his wife, but I don't know anything about them. Like all I know is they didn't take their Christmas decorations down and they got in trouble by the HOA.
You should see if there's a black cat in that house.
I mean, you know, I don't know. Again,
that could be the beginning of your The Ring right there, Mathis.
But it's your typical, like, I don't know if it's really what I got, if that's really what it was, or if it's something that my eyes were adjusting or something, and it quickly, like, did that brain thing where it just tried to make something logical happen.
I definitely had those things happen. Yeah.
I just had to get that off my chest. It's weird. If it's a cat, I'm down. I'm down to be haunted by a ghost cat. But if it's drugs, then I'm going to have to get more of them because I've never seen ghosts doing drugs before. So, you know, that's fun. Weed, leslie seated drugs, everybody.
Experiences at any cost.
Experience at any cost. And, you know, as far as the thing in the sky, I'm more apt to say that's maybe just like a sky anomaly.
You didn't get the back of the neck prickle that you saw in Alien.
I got really excited and it was really weird, but it didn't do anything other than if I had seen it move even for half a second before it went away,
you weren't even convinced maybe that it was an alien.
Yeah. It was just one of those things where it's hard to explain.
Interesting.
And then there's like all the other shit going on in the UFO world, which we'll talk about in the minisode, I am sure today, since I know Alex is bringing
minisode, you say? Where would you be listening to that? Perhaps on patreon.com/chilluminatipod, the greatest website.
It is the greatest website.
Yeah, go over there. Get some stuff. Pay us. Help us. Keep it up. Keep it going. Keep it moving. Forget about any sort of SEO algorithm. Let us do what we want. You know what I mean? The best work that we can do is work that makes us happy. Thank you for supporting us. I love you. We're about to record a new Rotten Popcorn right after this. I'm going to try and convince Mathis to watch The X-Files. We'll see what happens. Stay tuned.
I have a better movie that I think you'll enjoy.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out. You'll have to go to patreon.com/chilluminatipod to find out who won this.
Today, boys, a little bit of a breather. You two are heading off to the UK next week for one of your other shows, a little bit of a Scary Game Squad event. Yeah,
come see us at WASDA, 15 pounds.
Yeah, let's say, where does that happen?
It's at WASDA at the Truman Brewery. Yeah, come on down.
In London.
You have to be inside the show to go. Remember that,
Ryan? Thursday show has sold out.
Oh, really?
For the con. And so if you're going and you want to come to our show Thursday night, you better already have tickets for Thursday.
Damn.
But we're doing a thing Friday, so stop on by and we'll be there day Saturday. So like, come hang out with us.
I'm so fucking excited.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
I'm so fucking excited to go eat a bunch of food in England.
I remember going the one time I've been in London now twice, and it's just so expensive. It's beautiful, but goddamn, that city is expensive.
I think we get I think it's our turn to get a discount this year. I'm not sure. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see whose economy is worse.
Since you won't be here next week and we'll be doing a minisode compilation next week. And we probably shouldn't start a two-parter. So we're going to do something that we haven't done in about three months on the dot, pretty much.
3 months? Seriously?
Since we've done this. This is another cryptid adventure, a cryptid road trip, a cryptid around the world, kind of just taking a look at some of the more interesting things that are out there. And the last time we did this was Christmas cryptids back in December.
I just want to say I really enjoy these episodes and I'm excited.
I do too. I like them too. They're not something I want too often. But I do enjoy like a little, it's like a little dessert after.
It's a chicken soup for the chthonic soul. You know, it's
I like it. Yeah. I like that a lot. Yeah. Chicken. We got to write that. We should copyright that. Can we copyright chicken soup for the chthonic soul? You think it already exists? Maybe
we're going to have problems with at least two different copyrights. I don't know. I'm not sure. Right.
I mean, all right. It's probably going to be very expensive for us, but maybe it'll work out in the end. Initially the idea today was to actually look at Hawaiian cryptids, which we will go, or it's more Hawaiian mythical creatures rather than cryptids. But in diving into Hawaiian kind of mythology and stuff, I oddly got led into a totally different area of the earth that we're going to cover instead. Kind of more broadly, the poles of Earth, like the North and South Pole. But specifically, we're looking at the Antarctic, the Inuit people, and what kind of cool shit, and there's some cool fucking shit from their mythology. I apologize ahead of time for pronunciation. I am trying really hard, and I'm it's not on purpose. That's all right? And they have so freaking many. Do you guys know anything about like the cryptids of the far north?
Not at all. No.
All I know is that the snow is absolutely psychedelic. It's such a wild thing. And so I'm expecting some kind of very weird, trippy sort of am I hallucinating type stuff.
Thank you to Canva for sponsoring this episode. And creating visual content, surprisingly, is an essential part of what we do here at the podcast. But the creative process is not always easy, and it's almost always time-consuming. Having to make sure you got the right programs, taking the hours to layer things properly, and let's be honest, I'm not even all that good at that design stuff. But ever since I got Canva for Teams, it's been super easy to collaborate in a design with my team, which makes the whole process so much more creative and fun. Canva for Teams is a design platform that makes it easy for anyone to create stunning content in any format, from social media posts to videos, presentations, websites, you name it. The endless templates and premium fonts, photos, graphics, and videos add personality and edge to my team's content as well, which makes the whole process so much quicker. With features designed for brand consistency, Canva for Teams makes it easy to maintain your aesthetic and add your logos, fonts, and colors to anything you create, making sure it still has that personal touch that people need nowadays. Canva for Teams streamlines how we do social media as well. We can plan, create, and share social media content directly to all our channels from one single place and even schedule posts ahead of time. Canva for Teams even takes presentations to the next level with remote control. We never have to say next slide please anymore because my team can virtually connect and navigate slides from any device remotely. It's just made the whole process so much more efficient and so much quicker for us, which opens us more time to go do more things that we love. Collaborate with Canva for Teams. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you go to canva.me/chill. That's canva.me/chill for a free 45-day extended trial. canva.me/chill. There's definitely some of that, some creepy water monster stuff, some really cool shit. Do you guys have any interest in going like to the Antarctic, even just to like experience it out there for like a couple days or
the
something?
The Antarctic? Sure.
I'm probably priced out, but if the opportunity presented itself, I would consider. Sure,
yeah. Oh yeah. I'm just saying money wasn't an issue. Would you go and experience Antarctica for a few days?
Hell yes.
Yeah. I agree. It seems like such a cool place. Would you want to go when it's super dark or daytime?
I don't even care. I have like, it to me, it would be like going to an alien planet. It's like so impossible for me to even conceive what it would even be like. You know, I played video games on ice, you know, I've done it, but
video games.
I don't think it does it justice. I have a feeling it's like pretty fucking wild and I would love to see it.
I do too. I would want to just like see and experience that kind of world and the people who live out there freaking daily.
I want to go to the weird lone post office they have. I want to go to the weird hotel that kind of exists that isn't really a hotel. It's kind of like a bunker. I want to go see all that. I want to go see where the scientists stay indoors for 3 months out of the year. Like, I want that whole experience. Yeah.
Oh, man. I can't imagine what that would be like, man. Kind of cool maybe to do the first time, but I don't know.
I love watching the videos.
Yes.
What's crazy is one of my old WoW buddies back in the day, his now ex-wife's dad was a guy who like was a sub captain. And so he was gone 6 months out of the year under the Arctic.
I'm imagining Sean Connery in The Hunt for Red October right now.
Pretty much. And his wife is like the sweetest person in the world. 6 months out of the year underwater, under the Arctic, in a sub? Terrifying. I couldn't do it.
Have you seen those videos of like the people who get to spend a day on, like the reporter got to spend a day on a military U.S. submarine? Mm-mm. It is the most cramped, tight sure. quartered, horrifying existence. I don't think I could ever do it.
I can't even do coach most of the time. I would lose my mind. I would freak out after like 20 minutes, honestly.
Yeah, man. Surrounded by just pressure that could just
like while everyone was awake, maybe I would be okay, like in bigger rooms, but once I go in bed.
Yeah, when you're distracted.
Once I go in bed, it's over.
I can't imagine the noises that just like a submarine makes under the water.
No way. No way.
I have to imagine after a while you get used to it, right? But the first couple days. When you have that realization of, oh my God, I'm under, you're like, I guess you have to suck it up. Cause what are you going to do? Like, be like, well, I went off this sub, like tough. You're the military, son.
I would have to meditate for like months before I could do that without any sort of damage permanent to my entire self.
No, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. There's just no way in hell. I would collapse mentally in the day.
Kudos to you. If you're on a submarine listening to the Chilluminati podcast, let us know.
Man, yeah. Wow, you are a brave soul, whoever you are. And tell me.
How do you get the podcast?
Well, they do come up every few months for, they need to restock.
Do you get it in like bunches?
Download it in chunks?
I can answer this question for you, Jesse, because I watched that mini documentary. Yeah, when they come above ground for their stuff, they get access to the internet again, and they can just kind of like download everything that they want for the most part.
How come we don't have underwater Wi-Fi?
I bet you that we probably do.
Would it mess with the dolphins?
I don't think so, man. I think it's Tom Clancy and Final Fantasy, dude. I don't think there's anything else. I think you're just...
I think you're right.
Tom Clancy and Final... That's it. That's all there is. Tom Clancy and your old copy of Final Fantasy IX. Yeah. And that's all you got down there.
That's my Desert Island disc, baby.
Dude, if you don't even care about the documentary, the one part I would recommend going to watch is how the cooks work and how they handle pizza nights where they like cook for...
Yes, I've seen that stuff. It's
awesome.
Where does it go?
Crazy to see how they manage food. There's ship.
The way they stash it, it's just like on I've top seen that. Of
how does the heat, like when they cook, like, you know, you need a hood. Like
they have an oven.
I know, but like, where does the heat go?
I imagine there's like a ventilation thing and just like even putting it on like a metal thing on the outside of the sub, the water would just cooling above you at all times,
That's true. That's crazy.
All right. Well, fuck that. You know what else is dangerous out there in the great north in the waters? A mythical creature by the name of the Adlet, gentlemen.
Adlid?
Adlet.
Adlet.
Adlet. These are a race of creatures in the Inuit mythology of Greenland specifically, as well as Labrador and Hudson Bay coasts. Like that area is where it originates from. The word kind of refers to the inland Native American tribes. But it denotes a sort of what you would consider a, what is that? Half horse, half man, centaur, but it's a dog centaur. What? So these people are dog legged people. The lower part of the body is a canine and like that of a dog. But the upper part,
this image in the chat is wild, dude. It's exactly what you say, but it looks like it's about to like.
This is what's so good about having Dean.
It's like about to give me a quest in an adventure game for Windows 95.
That's an EverQuest. That's exactly an EverQuest NPC right there. So the description that it gives is kind of both of a man who can stand on its haunches, as well as the type where their bottom four legs are like of a dog.
Are they always like, I wear clothes on the top half like this?
They're portrayed as human, but no, not. Yes, they are wearing clothes most of the time, usually like a fur coat or something along those lines. It'd be really good for them if they were probably all dog. It'd be better for their survival if they were all animal with fur.
So they're like intelligent, non-monstrous. They're like a civilization.
Well, no, they're monstrous. They're intelligent, but they are monstrous as well. In Inuit lore?
Well, the image we have, while hilarious, the other images I'm seeing online are like full-on werewolf men.
Yeah, they're monstrous in a lot of ways.
So, like, you know, we got the goofy version that was like...
This guy's pretty monstrous.
NPC. I don't know. He looks like an elf standing on the back of a dog.
He looks like if you typed his name in Encarta, that's what would show up.
Yes. That's a fantastic description of this thing. But no, they are intelligent, but in their lore, they are often portrayed as in conflict with other humans, and they're supposed to be taller than the Inuit and white people, but in those stories, they're often conquered or beaten by the humans themselves. In other stories, they're actually portrayed as cannibals. The Labrador people use the term adlet, while the Hudson Bay people use the word urkididlit.
Yep.
Urkidgiglit, E-R-Q-I-G-D-L-I-T. Okay. You know, I'm doing my best. Here, I'm going to, you say this, boys. You know, Urkidlit.
Urkidlit. Urkidlit.
Yeah, see, here you go. Man, you guys are better at this.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Pokemon now, so that's kind of quick.
I don't know how to speak this language, though. I'm just trying to pronounce the letters.
We are definitely guessing. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Moreover, that these dog people, you know, starting nice and light, there's not a whole lot more to their lore other than they were more representative as a warning to dealing with outside tribes or people across the sea. That they were just like, you know, a mythological creature to tell kids not to wander details. Out too far.
Not a lot of
yeah, they're just more scary.
Yeah.
A lot of fights. Their story's always in conflict with the humans and the humans always win. And that's kind of like the basis of what they are as a mythological creature. How are we going to rate these creatures? We got to rate them. We always do a rating.
We need to rate them 1 to 10. Would you want to meet them alone at night in the wilderness?
Okay, perfect. All right, I like that. Okay, boys, 1 out of 10, the Adlit or the Urkidlit. Would you want to meet this alone at night in the woods by yourself?
The first guy, Incarta guy, 10. I want to meet this guy.
Yeah, Incarta, 10. I'm going to get 5 gold from him at the end of our
yeah, whatever together. Quest he gives is going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
But all the other ones, like this one that I sent you that looks like a hellhound wolfman.
No, I don't want to see
him. It's
like
the reverse.
He's a 2 or a 3.
I
don't want to see
that. That's a 1. Yeah. That's terrifying. Yeah, I don't want to see him.
I'm interested in the way that I would be interested if I saw a lion killing something in real life, but I would not want to be there.
I have a little taste for you boys of a little bit more lore to this particular person, this particular thing. It's very, very
for the
brief.
Adlet?
This is... Yeah, the Adlet's origin story is, according to myth, a woman gave birth to 10 children, 5 were dogs, and 5 were Adlets, these half-breeds.
What? Yeah, a woman?
Yeah. A woman. They bore the lower halves of a dog's body and the upper half of a man. Terrified, she set 5 of them adrift in the sea. These 5 managed to cross the Arctic and Atlantic, and these are the things that spawned the European races. So this is like their mythological European races.
So it's
races.
Like a little
the other 5
roast
children
on
that stayed
white people, kind of.
Yeah, a little bit deserved with the consistent, I'm sure, fights they're getting into them.
I'm
with
not
them. The other.
I have no qualms with this story.
Yeah, the other 5 children that stayed with their mother became ferocious, flesh-eating canine hominids who would attack anyone they encountered. The Adlet and their offspring, also called Adlet, now wander the tundra in packs, seeking out Inuit villages to feed on.
It's very Dark Souls that they're incestual.
Yes, super Dark Souls. I could definitely see this in a Dark Souls game.
It's very nasty. Very scary. You could build this out. This is a great like D&D monster potential. You know what? That should be one, too. What kind of potential does it have for D&D?
Oh, yeah. I think it's cryptids are like
really neat.
A great source for D&D monsters. Okay. With that addition, 1 to 10, what are your ratings? Meet it alone in the woods.
Yeah. I mean, still a 1, unless it's that NPC guy, yeah. In which case a 10.
I'm going to bump it up to a 3 out of morbid curiosity because I got to catch a glimpse of these big fangs.
That dude would eat you so quick. He'd be like, delicious.
Maybe not. He's got clothes on. He's not a fucking barbarian.
No. The one that you're talking about, that's a 10. The one that I'm talking about, that guy will eat your soul.
He's got a clothes on, though. He's got a little... No. See, he's got a cloth.
I can't rate it that low, boys. I got to go 6, and here's the reason. These boys are suffering from modern-day problems of the greatest degree across the world, fatherless upbringings.
What?
And we need to make sure that these boys who grew up without a dad
what?
Get a father. So I will be
you
that
You
want to
become this guy's daddy?
Well, yeah, because fatherless upbringings are the cause of all bad things, especially in the U.S. So we got to make sure that they're dads.
Is this like a hot take you're doing or is this a goof? I can't tell. I don't know what's about to happen on this show.
Little A, little B. I don't know. I don't know.
Have you been on the internet this weekend? Were you on the internet?
I'm never off the internet, Jesse.
Were you on that part of the internet where things are like a little...
I watched that Jon Stewart interview and it was hilarious where he interviewed that guy and he was like, you know what the problem is? Not guns. fatherless sons in America. And that's, you know, that was the joke. So these boys, you know, need
and
a father.
You I will be that father.
And you want to be their daddy?
Because I could shack up with a woman who gives birth to, like, I could raise an army of werewolves.
How does it always end up with you having sex with these monsters?
That's thank you. Thank you. That's what I was getting
all
at.
All roads lead to Rome or whatever it is.
I want to know if you want to be a father figure or a daddy. That's what I'm asking, because I know you and I feel like somehow you're going to be like, I'm here to help you with my dick. I'm just asking questions.
I would never put that upon their children.
Okay.
That's heroic. No, I like that.
Yeah. I'm there to be their dad. And if the other thing comes to pass, I won't resist.
That's not
it.
What that's being all. A father is. That's not well, that's
gonna,
not how fatherhood
I'm gonna
works.
We're going to go throw baseballs outside. You know, we're going to go do tennis matches in the courts. I'm going to teach them how to basketball by themselves.
He hit us with the Omnis VA Romum or whatever.
Yeah. The next cryptid is known as the Nuckluck. This is a man of the bush.
N-U-K-L-U-K?
Correct.
Nuckluck.
This is a cryptozoological hominid reported in national park reserves near Nahanni Butte, the Northwest Territories of Canada, between April and June of 1964 by John Baptist, several men, and a boy named Jerry. So we know this Jerry. Is... God damn it, Jerry. Several Dean and Fort Leard, who were trapping at a river, reportedly came upon the creature in April of 1964. It kind of looks like Bigfoot, basically, but less ape-like and more Neanderthal-like.
This just looks like, this looks like a fucking caveman with shoes on. It's like the guy from the like ill-fated ABC caveman sitcom based on the commercial.
Bro, those commercials were, how did that not turn into a TV show successfully?
And he's got Timberlands on.
I need you to know, for those of you at home who are not looking at this photo, it might be the first one you find when you look up Nuckluck, but oh my God, it looks exactly like a caveman. But he's in a pair of kind of run-down Air Force Ones with no shoelaces.
He's wearing Timberlands, yeah. And then the other one is just a Bigfoot with a dick. It's like a Bigfoot with just like a less hairy dick than most apes you would imagine might have.
I will say, out of all the big feet we've seen, this is the only one I've seen with a dong.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're totally right. That is just a Bigfoot with a dick.
When you go back to your Bigfoot topic, Alex, you better bring in the Nuckluck mythology. They need to show up. This is what happens when the Neanderthal DNA gets their own Bigfoot. You know what I mean?
Okay.
In 1960, it was in June of 1964 near Fort Simpson at about 9 p.m. A boy named Jerry reported a similar looking creature. It had black hair on its head, upper body and legs, and a black head slightly pointed at the back. It also had a long brown beard that reached its waist. It wore ankle high boots, a moose skin loincloth, possibly moose skin boots, and had a stone club in its hand. These creatures have been reported for hundreds of years and are said to have boot-like footprints and whistling calls. They have been reported from the Northwest Territories to Yukon to the Kenai Peninsula in Alaska.
Is this concept art for the giants from Skyrim?
It is very
it looks
close,
exactly,
dude.
Wow, like that. That is a great. I love.
I wonder.
That.
Yeah. I wonder if that's what the inspiration actually was, or I wonder if maybe. Just these. There really was a big giant kind of club wielding type of hominid at one point. I always think about big people. Big people seems like one of those ones that I'm not totally off the wagon on. You know what I mean? I don't know. It seems possible. I don't know.
He's wearing shoes. The man is wearing sneakers.
They make their own moose-skin boots.
Big people?
That is some high quality. That guy's doing better than, I don't know, most shoe companies.
He gives you 6,000 experience if you
it
take
it just
him
shows
out.
You capitalism is the wrong system and we should be living like the Nucklucks.
That guy looks like he has all his shit sorted out. That's all I'm going to say. That's confidence.
I think you and me are on our way to being honorary Nucklucks.
I'm on my way for sure. I got to, you know.
I'm trying my best.
You know, it's my brand to have a beard, but it's going to get shaved soon. I always get off on the seasons. I always have it short during the winter and long during the summer, so this year, I purposely let it go.
Oh, I like that planning.
Yeah. So, you know, nice. Like a month or two. Oh, yeah.
We got to rate the Nuckluck. You know my rating on this one.
Oh, Nuckluck is
it's the same rating as any Bigfoot for me.
A 1 across the board, I would... No, I'm sorry, a 10. A 10 reverse.
Thank you.
10 across the board, I want to hang out with this dude. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, like, again, I have the curiosity. It's there. I'm going to say 6 or 7 just because it's given me the energy of, like, when I see, like, a homeless guy's penis, like, in real life today.
Well, they wear loincloth, according to Jerry.
And loincloth is not sufficient. Like, it's good, but, like, if there's a car nearby or a particularly powerful gust of wind, I'm seeing the dong. And that's a risk, you know? That's all I'm saying.
Well, just so you know, these things are apparently only about 5 feet tall, too. So they're not, like, tall like Bigfoot. They're short.
That's even weirder, man.
Love it. I want to hang out with this dude.
Now I'm just, now they're, like, little weird, like, wiry, like, Charles Manson guys.
No, this dude's a sneakerhead like me. He and I, we'd have stuff to talk to.
He's a sneakerhead like you?
Like, you get them Air Force Ones? He's like, I was on the sneaker app and I couldn't get it. And I'd be like,
literal
hype
beast.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we ever crack, like, big money, you know, we make it big. I'm gonna first form a team to find these things.
No.
And then I'm going to hire them as bodyguards.
No. If we ever make it big, you guys owe me a haunted house. Don't do that. Don't.
No, we're still doing that.
No,
by the way, so update on that. Thank you for reminding me. I did reach out to the local haunted hotel nearby.
The brothel?
They don't exist anymore. They exist, but they're selling it. They're not taking people. Only $500,000 to buy it if anybody out there.
Wait, this is the brothel? The haunted brothel?
The one near me. Yes. I think it was a haunted brothel.
Is the haunted brothel.
Is it the one where the ghosts are hot?
Yes, the one where the ghosts hit on you and they're like, hey, good looking.
I don't remember if it's this one or not. I know what you're talking about, but I don't know if it's that one.
Well, the first one we need to go to is the haunted brothel where the ghosts sit on you. I want a ghost to be like, nice
haunted
ass, Jesse.
Brothel with fuckable ghosts.
That's not what I said.
But, you know, he's bringing it to the next.
That's not what I said at all.
I'm bringing it down to the layman's phrase.
No, I can't
find it. All right, we gotta move
phrase.
On.
The layman's phrase.
I coined it. 1 out of 10 for me.
Six or
10.
6 or 7.
Okay, got it. I'm a 10, just like Jesse. All right. So Amarok. This is basically a giant mythical wolf in the Inuit religion, said to stalk and devour any person foolish enough to hunt alone at night.
Shit.
So that should answer your question instantly on where you're rating this thing. Unlike wolves who hunt in packs, Amaroks hunt alone.
This thing's like a fucking magic card. This thing rules.
Hell yeah. Okay.
Dude, yeah. The pictures of it are sick. I love it. Yeah, that looks so fucking cool.
I shouldn't let like one artist's rendition like color my understanding of it.
All the ones I've seen are cool as hell though.
Why does the second one look like a trace of the first one?
Oh, it's fan art of the first one. This is writing in the 19th century. Danish geologist and Greenlandic scholar Heinrich Johannes Rink reported that the Greenlandic Inuit reserve the word Amarok exclusively for this legendary wolf, meaning they don't use it for any other type of wolf, whereas the Arctic peoples, however, use it to refer to any wolf. So depending on who you're speaking with, it can mean multiple things. In the book Tales and Traditions of the Eskimo, Rink recounts several folk legends that feature the Amarok. In one tale, a persecuted and physically stunted boy seeks to increase his strength. When he calls out to the Lord of Strength, an Amarok appears and wrestles him to the ground with its tail. This causes a number of small bones to fall from the boy's body. Amarok tells the boy that the bones had prevented his growth. He instructs the boy to return daily in order to develop his strength, and after several days of wrestling with the Amarok, the boy is strong enough to overcome 3 large bears, thus gaining him the esteem of his village. That's a fucking badass story. And that also feels very Dark Souls in a lot of ways.
It's like flavor text. It's like perfect. Yeah, I love that. That is so sick.
One other story. A man mourning the death of a relative hears reports that an Amarok is nearby. He and a relative go in search of the Amarok. They find instead her pups. And the mourner kills them all. The mourner's relative becomes frightened. The two retreat to hide in a cave. Looking out, they see the adult Amarok returning to her pups, carrying a reindeer in her mouth. When the Amarok fails to find her offspring, she hastens to a nearby lake and drags a humanoid form from the water. At that moment, the mourner collapses. The Amarok, quote, from which nothing remains concealed, took the mourner's soul
from
his body.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, damn, dude. That's like
from which nothing remains concealed.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. That's Dark Souls.
That's like a secondary like weapon effect that's like unique, legendary on an item.
I love the Amarok. It's like you said, it almost feels like a classic, like kind of fantasy almost in that grim dark kind of way. I love it.
Love it. Love it. Love the fan art of it.
You know what's crazy? That fan art that you sent is absolutely terrifying. Yet, hold on. This image, I know you guys are about to be like, one, don't want to see this thing, but look at this bad boy. If I saw this at night, I'd be lured to my death.
That's fucking, that's cool as shit too. Yeah, that's
that thing looks amazing.
That's when Homer eats the weird pepper that drives his, when he has to put the wax in his mouth to take the crazy psychedelic
that,
pepper.
Now, if I saw that guy, I'd be like, let's go.
Yeah, that's trippy. This guy for me, same as the first one. Like, I have some morbid curiosity. Do I want to see this? Would I want to run into this? No, but like, I'm like a three. I'm tantalized at the prop.
Hard one. Hard one.
If I heard he was out there, I'd definitely be peeking.
Nah, hard one.
I'd be peeking.
Hard one. Huh. I'm going to go with a hard one too. And I don't know why it came out of my mouth like that. I'm going to go.
I'm spending too much time in Texas, baby.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, Texas and the text out Italian accent. I love it. All right. Here's another one. This one's much shorter than the other ones. This is the, and again, I apologize. Ugjuknark pack. I'm going to copy paste the name so you can also make your own attempts.
I don't like that you said Nark in there.
Narpak.
Ugjuknarpak.
Ugjuknarpak.
I don't know.
Yeah. This is basically just a giant, and by giant, they mean human sized, predatory aquatic rat.
Oh.
A human-sized aquatic rat that lives under the ice, and it overturns kayaks and other small boats to get its food, aka the person.
This is like Princess Bride. What do they call rats of unusual size or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. In addition, this beast has tough skin that is very difficult to penetrate, and it also has a long prehensile tail that it uses to grab its victims, drag them under the water, and drown them.
Oh, that's way worse.
It's fucking a little weird.
How big is it?
Human sized. So 5 to 6 feet.
5 feet?
Yeah, at least 5 feet.
Oh no. This is like hippo sized.
Did Dean get a, yeah, there's a picture of it from Dean. I love having Dean around here now. It's great.
Why does he look like he's been hung and revived?
He does have like a weird thing around his neck in that image. Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like he's been to the hangman's noose. That's fucking crazy. That thing is like the size literally of like a rhino, like a rhino, like baby rhino, or like a like a hippo. This thing is
huge. It's big, man. It's big.
It's like a horse.
To give you an idea of like maybe this is actually based off something that may have lived at one point. There are known huge size rodents from long ago. 3 million years ago during Pliocene and early Pleistocene. A rodent called Joseph Artigasia Manussi?
Rome's, there's no
Manussi.
Way.
No, there's Manessi. Manessi.
There's just... what is this MS Paint ass version?
I found a version.
It's like, oh, yeah. Is this what I think it is? Nope, not the version I've seen. I actually haven't seen this version.
That looks like, what the fuck? That looks like Templeton the Rat that? From Charlotte's Web getting taken out by some... Lilliputians.
What the fuck is that? This is the version I initially came across.
I found an image that's an MS Paint, and it's what I, you know, what I thought.
What the fuck is that? Is that he hiding under a canoe?
Yeah, he's a kayak.
Yeah, he looks dead, I'll be honest. But he also looks like he has a cybernetic piece on him.
I like the one with the MS Paint wounds. And there's just like a dead guy in the
dino
shot.
Dino damage, it's fucking red.
Absolutely
yeah.
Crazy, I love it.
So yeah, during that period, this is the how you spell it. Let me give it to you. You got the Manussi.
You gotta stop saying Manussi, that.
Dude. I can't.
You gotta stop saying the Manussi.
Joseph Artigasia Manussi.
That's the scientific name for this thing. Roamed South America and was known to be the size of an African buffalo.
This is a real creature.
Yes, it is a real creature.
So you think this is like one of those situations where like they found the skeleton?
I mean, I don't know. That's not what I'm saying, but almost like Loch Ness always like kind of locks onto like, oh, it could have been this old lizard that would have been around or a plesiosaur or something.
That like somehow super evolved prehistory kind of. Yeah,
exactly. But that's it. Just a rodent that turns over kayaks and drowns people with its prehensile tail that sometimes looks like it has armor on it, depending on the picture.
Yeah, that last one looked like it got like level two, like it got like a stage one evolution.
Yeah. 1 out of 10. Alone in the woods at night. This is an aquatic creature. No, this is meeting it alone in the woods.
Anything aquatic is a one. Nah, Mom.
But you're in the woods. You're not meeting it in the water. You're not meeting it on its home turf.
Time out. You're telling me if you were in the woods at night, an aquatic beast showed up, you wouldn't be very concerned about your situation?
I might be very confused. Like, what is happening right now?
I'm going to say like a six. Like, I want to get a glimpse. I'm not trying to like go up to it and like feed it a fish or whatever. I just want to catch a glimpse with my binocs.
With your binocs.
I'd like to be dropped into a football field-sized enclosure with it so that I could slowly creep up on it and watch it from afar.
I feel the same way, but I'm more of like a four.
I'm like at a six for that.
I'd be more willing to leave before you, I think. I'd be ready to get out of there. Yeah.
Vibes.
All right, we're moving on to something else. This is the Ejirock. I think I did that pretty well. Ejirock. That's really hard for me for some reason. Anyway, this is a shape-shifting creature from the Inuit religion that is said to kidnap children, but instead of eat them or like raise them as their own or turn them into hideous monsters, they run off, hide them, and then abandon them forever.
So they kidnap your kids and just leave them in the wilderness?
Yep.
In like a hole.
I will say a lot of this is along the lines of all the other great cryptid things where it's like, don't go near the water. Don't go out at night. It's like good morals for your kids to get them to stay inside kind of things. Like, it's cold out there. Don't do that shit or the monster will hit you.
If the adlet was the don't go outside the village one, maybe this one's the like, somebody's coming for, please protect your child at all costs.
So what's weird about this one is that the last bit of it, like just like a general lore, is that it's also said that the Inuksugak, anyway, they're like stone, they're basically stone kind of like markers that they used to leave on the land. That these, if the children could find them, would lead them back home, which is a nice lesson to lead them back home, but only if they can convince the Ejirock to let them go.
How do you convince them to let you go?
That's a very good question. I'm going to read a little story for you, and maybe it'll answer it. Maybe it won't. We'll find out. The Ejirock are said to inhabit a place between two worlds, not quite inside this one, nor quite out of it. Inuit further south than the North Baffin group used to hold to a belief that some Inuit went too far north in the chase for game and became trapped between the world of the dead and the world of the living, and thus became an Ejirock. So like they're people who went too far and got lost. According to the small handful of surviving elders in the South Baffin region that know of these beliefs, the Inuit that are settled in Resolute and Grisfjord are these shapeshifters or shadow people because they went too far north. Some elders will avoid being in the presence of extreme northern Inuit, fearing that they are the evil Ejirock or another version of it, Tariaksuk. The home of the Ejirock is said to be cursed, and one will lose their way no matter how far or no matter how skilled or familiar with the land that they are.
Interesting. Interesting.
So there you go. They're like, they're hunters who got too far, became trapped like in between two worlds, and like, yeah, they kind of became like a weird, evil, wild man.
That's what happens when I play Monster Hunter Rise for too long.
So it's more, you know what? Have you tried Wild Hearts yet? I need to play that.
No, I haven't given it a shot.
I got to still. Yeah, this is like, I guess it's less for children, even though they kidnap children. It's also like a duo warning story for hunters as well.
Don't get too obsessed, bro. Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry about the game. Don't get too greedy. And it's bizarre that the people that they were, other people from other tribes that they believed it. There's another picture.
These look like Doctor Who bad guys.
Yeah, there's another thing that's going to be very Doctor Who-ish coming up. It's creepy as hell.
Those are horrific. They look, you know what's crazy about them, though? Like, going along with the, overarching lore of the Chilluminati podcast, squint your eyes a little bit. Visitors from another world, they kind of look like greys, don't they?
Yeah. Well, that's all.
Don't they?
Yes, and that's why the whole like idea that even Jesse talked about before, that all of this might be one in the same, one different part of the same phenomenon.
You're really living off of that. I'm so glad I gave you something.
Well, no, because I you didn't give that to me. It gave me pride that you came to that conclusion on your own. That's what it did. I like,
this is when the cult leader is like impressed with one of his acolytes right here.
Yeah.
I'm impressed that you came to that conclusion on your own, my son.
It might be this idea, if we really like, you know, they might be a little bit physical, a little bit psychedelic, or like not earthly.
It might not be real at all.
It might not be real at all. It could be something our own collective consciousness is.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far.
No, I just, there's like, I can, there's a tangent and it's within grasp.
I just remembered
some stuff. We could talk about it in the after. We
could
talk
about it in
the
minisode. Yeah.
The minisode. We got to talk about it in the minisode. We could talk about Avi Loeb, and like
Avril Lavigne.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Avi Loeb.
There's another tweet that said that like one of the reasons it's such a slow disclosure is because people aren't ready for the woo side of it, meaning the side that deals with consciousness and what is consciousness.
All right, let's get to the minisode. Patreon.com/Shimonati Pod. Patreon.com/Shimonati Pod.
Yeah. So, 1 out of 10, would you want to meet this thing?
No.
In the woods. But let me read
you
a little bit of what the description of this is, so the people who don't have a picture can understand. Basically, the name Izhirok means shapeshifter. And an Izhirok can appear in any form it chooses, making it very deceptive. Their eyes will always stay red, no matter what they shapeshift into, though, which is kind of a dead giveaway, I feel like. Their real form is just like that of a human, but their eyes and mouths are sideways. The book of Dutch writer Fjortje Zwijgman says only the shaman knows the real form of the Izhirok. When you are hunting somewhere that Izhirok inhabit, you will see them in the corner of your eye for a fleeting moment. If you try to observe them directly, however, they are completely elusive. They are sometimes helpful, sometimes fatally deceptive.
Hmm.
So they like to be a little deceiving assholes and lead you further and further away. Sometimes they're helpful, though, which is very weird if they're evil. But there you go. Does that change how much you would want to meet one in the woods?
I think I'm going to just have to decide that it's like the same thing that an alien encounter is. I'm just going to have to decide that's what it is and say it's an 8 and not be something that can destroy me. You know what I mean? I'm going to say this is a common encounter that lots of different people have filtered through this particular culture. And I'm going to say, yes, I do want to meet this in the woods. 8.
All right. I like it. I'm with you. I would love to meet a shapeshifter. I'm going to go 8 as well.
Yeah. Shapeshifter is an interesting thing to me.
Nope. 0. Shapeshifter? 0.
Dude, she could be the redhead of your dreams.
Yeah. And then eat me. 0.
Yeah. Fair. Fair.
They just want to be deceptive.
Yeah, hard 0.
All right. Well, I mean, okay.
They just want to be deceptive. Like, guys, I don't get it. They just want to be deceptive.
Dude, she could roll. She could have the role play would be out of this
world. Are we talking about fucking these things? I'm talking about meeting them in the woods.
I think Mathis is talking about fucking these things. I think everything we're talking about, he's like.
I thought we were just talking about running into them in the woods. I said sneak up behind a bush and view at a distance with binoculars so that they didn't even know I was there.
I'm talking about literally you run into them in the woods. Do you stick around? I'm not talking about like,
yes, you're snooping,
or I'm not talking about like you go on a date with them. I don't know what's going on here. I thought the rules were well established.
If the two of you hit it off, though.
No, there's no hitting it off. You walk in the woods.
Hit it off.
You're walking through the woods. You're still a little scared. You're hearing noises. And then like, click-oh, this thing is there. Do you stick around? Yes or no?
Hit it off.
Yeah.
I just want to see it. I want an opportunity to observe it in the natural world. That's all I'm asking for. All right. There's no sexual overtone for me here.
I didn't say there was.
You said hit it off. What if you hit it off?
You like?
What if you had a meet cute?
We got to go to the next creature. We got to move on. Okay. All right? Sorry. We got to keep going. All right. All right. A meet cuck is actually the name of this thing. I'm going to literally how it sounds in the chat. There you go.
A meet cook.
This is a legendary creature from Inuit mythology. This monster is known to be from the Bering Strait of Alaska. The Amikuk is, or cook, all right, to have it your way, is described as a huge, heavy creature with slimy, moist skin, and instead of legs, has 4 human-like arms and hands, which are for locomotion and capturing its prey. It is also said to be capable of burrowing underground and emerge in inland lakes. Supposedly, it preys mostly on fishermen and people foolish enough to bathe in the sea, but have also been said to consume large quantities of fish and seabirds.
Is it really as human sea creature hybrid-y as it seems in this image?
I'll give you the photo I got of it. I don't know where Dean's getting these photos, but I love them so much.
It's very, so very good. It looks like a halfway between a sperm whale and a human.
Here's the version that I...
Oh, God. Yeah, this looks like a if a Rancor was a chestburster alien.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah, here's another rendition of it.
Like a fleshy Rancor. Yeah, like a Rancor with, a lot of flesh.
Yeah, it's like a fleshy, slimy... Yeah, it's fucking creepy.
Although that one kind of... What are those guys? The squigs in Warhammer? Little tiny...
This looks like a fucking tick or a flea or some shit zoomed in.
I mean, it's underwater, so, I mean, you know, it doesn't really matter too much. I bet you it's like a hippo, man. Those hippos underwater are fucking scary.
This thing, just Google squigs. S-Q-U-I-G. What it looks like.
Kinda. It only has two legs.
Squigs only...
This thing has... Squigs only have two legs, but this thing has four. All right, so, you know, it's kind of squiggy.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. No, it does look like a squig.
Touche.
This thing, I feel like if you saw it in the woods, you'd be in okay place. You wouldn't get too much danger because it's not made for land. It's very slow on land. It's slimy. It's very much made for water.
I feel like we're not understanding the assignment.
Would you want to meet it alone in the woods? Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's made for land. If you ran into this giant dude with fangs and claws and flesh all over him, you would be like,
have
you know
that
what?
Experience
not
to know that it's to know that it's real. Yes, and since I could probably get away from
you
it,
you would die before. You wouldn't know. You think
no,
you could probably get away from a squig out of your mind?
Yeah, not a squig and a meacock.
Same thing.
No, this thing's like glorby and big and gross and slow.
Where does it say it's slow?
I mean, it doesn't. It just says it's huge.
All right.
It's capable of burrowing underground, I guess. So maybe that's dangerous. But I don't know if it can burrow down like a video game character in like 2 seconds.
This is like 6 for me. Again, it's like...
I'm with Alex. I'm a little lower than Alex, actually.
One. Hard one.
I want to see it.
I'm a 5.
I want to view it from behind a rock, you know, high up, away from it, where it's not threatened
by
me.
One of the images is this guy on a rock looking down like, hey, what's up? This guy would climb that rock and eat your face.
I want to have plenty of distance between me and him. No reason for him to get involved with me.
I don't think either of you understand.
Haven't you ever had a magical experience in the woods with like a bear or something like that?
Where no, because I'm
you
not
saw
stupid.
A bear far away.
No,
you know?
No.
It's happened. It's wonderful. It's nice. I can see it.
It's not wonderful. It's not that you lucked out. That bear wasn't hungry.
I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, 6. I'm a 6.
6.
I'm a 5.
Madness.
I think I'm with, for the most part, though, I'm with you. You know
the only
I mean?
One like, so far is the dude in the sneakers that is worth hanging out with. Everyone else is trying to kill you.
The Adlet and Carta version, I want him, though. I'd hang out with that dude. I'd be like, hey, you want to hit this?
The Carta version?
Yeah.
The nice looking
like, hey,
one?
Hey, you want to try Del Taco, bro? Come here.
Do you think Del Taco would win over any of the cryptids?
100%.
Agreed.
You think so?
Yeah. You get them a cheesy bean and rice burrito, they are your friend.
They'll go fact. Gaga bananas for that shit. Yeah.
They'll go Gaga fact. Bananas.
Double Del burger.
Cryptids
Light
go
sauce.
Gaga bananas for the Double Del cheeseburger with bacon.
Oh my God. Yeah. Get yourself actually just 2 normal Del Tacos. I think they're like $1.19. That'll set you right.
Yeah. If you got less than $10 and you're in California, head to Del Taco.
You'll be fine. You'll eat like a king.
This is not a brand deal, but we love you, Del Taco.
It please could be, though.
Please give us free food. Patreon.com/Shumanati Pod. Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. This next one is kind of like the last strictly land one that I'm going to be covering here. And this
strictly
is called
land.
Strictly land. Kikirn. Q-I-Q-I-R-N.
Kikirn.
It's a large bald dog spirit in Inuit mythology from around the area of Baffin Island. It has hair only on its feet, mouth, and the tips of its ears and tail.
Oh, fuck.
Its presence will send men and dogs into convulsions that are sometimes fatal. However, it is frightened of humans and will run away if an Anugakuk sees it, which is, just so you know, is an Inuit intellectual and spiritual figure in the
like
Inuit
a shaman
culture.
Type.
Like a medicine man, shaman.
So they're scared of those things.
Yes, they're scared of those.
They're scared of humans. They're scared of like human settlements and stuff like that.
Only if there's an Angakuk around it will
I
they
see.
Run away.
Okay.
A similar term also from Inuit mythology is a Kilut, a malevolent earth spirit, which also appears as a hairless dog. Daniel Merker suggested that if fits caused by the Kikern were allusions to shamanic initiations.
This looks like if there was a
Resident Evil thing. That's like, yeah, a Resident Evil dog.
This is like the Snow Trooper version of the Resident Evil dog. This, yeah, second one is like a fucking mummy dog.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a mummy dog. This is not even Resident Evil. This is just mummies alive if it was dogs. That's a mummy dog.
That is a mummy dog. Yep.
Here's the problem. You're trying to sell this to me as being some sort of like, you know, dog creepy creature. The Kikern are also a tribe in Final Fantasy 14. This is what I think of when I see them, are these little guys.
What the
And there's an entire tribe and they're like your best friends. They hang out with you. This is a 10. I would love to hang out with them.
That's like a Final Fantasy 14 character.
Right, it there. Is. They are. Okay. They are. Literally, yeah, that's okay. Their name in Final Fantasy 14. I'm here for it.
This one, this is not a 10 for me. You said in their presence, men and dogs convulse and possibly die, right?
Yes. They're sometimes
this
fatal.
This one I will skip because like I say, I'm not a fool. I'm just curious. And if there's a chance that I'm going to just in its presence convulse and die and my dog's going to die, I'm good. This has been my 5 minutes. Thank you. I cede the rest to the senator from California.
That's you, Jesse.
Sorry, I'm busy looking at Kikern. They're very cute.
It's a one for me. I don't want to see it. I don't want to turn into a
zero.
10.
You're going to convulse into a fit, Jesse.
No. I play a Lalafell. I'm not a human.
Yeah, he's good. Oh, okay. So he's immune.
That's how it works?
Yeah, I'm immune to it. Yeah, I'm immune to it.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good for you, I guess.
I'm a zero on this. I'm a human. I'm as human as they come.
Yeah, you guys would die instantly, but I'm a cute tiny cherub boy.
The one that would literally cause you to die just from seeing it is the one you want to meet.
Yeah, and I am Lalafell, some would say, to my benefit.
Well, on to the next one. This next one is, we're on the home stretch. This one's for you, Jesse.
Oh, boy.
Kalapiluit.
Oh, that's a cute.
They are marine creatures from Inuit mythology.
Nope.
They are often described as having scaly and bumpy skin, not unlike a sculpin. It is said that
this is some Cthulhu elder beast.
No, it's a water people.
This is out.
It is said that these are ugly creatures. Awful. Okay. And they reek of sulfur, which is kind of weird because grays reek of sulfur. The Kalapiluit is a child snatcher. No one really knows why these creatures love to take children, though. Perhaps they take children because they are lonely and like the company, or maybe they are like, they like how kids taste. Maybe they eat them. Maybe they eat
the kids.
So this is
another vaguely gray-related creature that comes from under the water and kidnaps
the fish person,
abducts children
because maybe they're lonely.
Mm.
Many stories of the Kalapiluit tell of them wearing either duck clothing or large pouches on their back to carry the children. The Kalapiluit hides in the ocean, waiting for children to play alone on the beach or near the breaking ice. Usually, the Kalapiluit jump out of the water and grab the children without any warning. Sometimes, however, you can hear them knocking under the ice. That's creepy as hell. If you like look down, it's like they're knocking.
Oh, bro!
It's a story to present cracking ice. Yeah,
exactly. Because when you walk on ice, that noise, that knock, is the shifting breaking ice. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's genius.
Doctor Who too. Yeah,
I know. Some elders have said that if the ocean begins to become wavy in an area or steam begins to rise from the ocean, a Kalapiluit might be hiding underneath the water. It's literally a story to warn you not to die from
thin ice.
Some
great ass advice. Like, don't walk on the ice, don't get near the waves, don't get near the steam.
Yep.
It makes sense.
Kalapiluit.
These things are terrible looking.
Oh yeah, they're spooky. They're very spooky.
This they also kind of look like if you're gonna do like a Marvel villain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Extremely scary.
Or like a D&D thing. Oh, yeah.
I'm still curious. I'm going to put it at like a 3.
No, this is a 1. These things are terrifying.
We're past childhood age, though. Like, they're not going to scoop us up if we're near the ice. If we pop
up. And how big are they?
They're like human size.
Yeah, I think I'd probably take this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd give it a 5. I would want to see it, but I don't want to puke because it smells so bad. Because they smell like sulfur, remember.
Very gray.
Which, again, is very gray alien. Very gray alien. Jesse, what was your ranking?
Oh, one. These things are terrifying. You kidding me? Out of all the things we've seen, these actually look like monsters. They have the face of like one of the, you know, that meme, that scary meme with like the creepy eyes and the giant evil smile.
Yeah.
It looks like that thing.
That's what's going on. Yeah.
No, thank you.
Really, really spooky. Well, the other one looks kind of like Abe Sapien in a sweater.
I mean, yeah, there's one that looks like Abe Sapien. That's one drawing.
One is like the really like generous, like MMO race version.
I'm looking at the Google image search of this thing. One looks like Grendel. These are not pleasant things.
Bumpy skin.
Although this one does look like our favorite character, Squidward. This guy is just Squidward. Meow. SpongeBob.
Oh no.
Look at him. Oh my god, it is. It's Squidward.
He's like, I hate snowball fights, SpongeBob.
All right, boys, I'm going to end this one with just one more. And this is maybe the creepiest one for me, though it may not be what I would consider like the classically scariest one of them all. This is called the Ningen, N-I-N-G-E-N. This is one that is still being reported on today. And over the past few years, rumors have circulated over in the Japan area about the existence
this is Japanese?
Yes, of Arctic humanoid life forms inhabiting the icy waters of the Antarctic. Reportedly observed on multiple occasions by crew members of government-operated whaling research ships, these so-called Ningen, which means human, are said to be completely white in color with an estimated length of 20 to 30 meters. Can we get a translation on that in feet, Dean? Because I don't know what 20 to 30 meters is in feet. Use Google, because I don't know.
What is that, like 90 feet?
It's got to be big.
20 meters is 65 feet.
Okay, so 20 to 30 meters is fucking huge.
Yeah.
Eyewitnesses describe them having a human shape, a human-like shape, often with legs, arms, and even five-fingered hands.
No way.
Sometimes they are described as having fins or a large mermaid-like tail instead of legs, or even tentacles. The only visible or identifiable facial features are the eyes and mouth. According to one account, crew members on deck observed what they initially thought was a foreign submarine in the distance. When they approached, however, it became clear from the irregular shape of the thing that it was not man-made and it was alive.
This is what I was thinking about. This is what I was imagining earlier when I was describing, like, weird, am I seeing this snow creatures?
Yeah, man. The creature quickly apparently disappeared under the water when they got close. This got a ton of attention, and the popular thread attracted the attention of many readers from outside the two-channel community, which is where they initially got posted. And the November 2007 issue of MU Magazine, a Japanese publication devoted to the study of paranormal phenomena, which featured an article about the Antarctic humans. The article speculated on the possibility of unidentified creatures inhabiting the southern seas, and it included a Google Earth screenshot showing what looks like a Ningen in the South Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Namibia. Sorry, I apologize.
There you go. You got it.
Namibia is correct.
To date,
you got it.
To date, no solid evidence has been presented to confirm the existence of the Ningen. The government is believed to have kept detailed records of the sightings, but they have released no information to the public and have reportedly instructed eyewitnesses to remain silent. Very, very similar to how we believe the U.S. government handled like Roswell and things like that. Did you guys see the picture of the Google Earth one? If not, I'll get it for you right now. But this is the only photo that supposedly might be one of these things.
Oh,
it's not I mean, quite.
This looks like the X-Files. The other one that we have, though, looks pretty good. I don't know if that's artist rendering or what, but.
Yeah, artist rendering. I think that's an artist rendering. I don't know where Dean got that from, but.
Yeah, these both. These are pretty much what I was imagining. This is like, is it snow? Is it a thing? Is it like a psychically controlled pile of ice and snow? I don't know. It's weird. It's weird looking.
I mean, the fact that it's like supposedly like alive and it like disappears under the water if you get too close is creepy. That's like my worst fear when it comes to like deep water is like things you can barely see and then they just disappear.
No. That's
I hate that shit.
Here's the problem, though. Like always, when we find these images, I find one that makes me think, maybe it's not so bad. And I'm just going to send this to you because this thing sucks.
This image sucks.
This dude's like, welcome to the water. Oh, hi, everybody. It's me.
So, but the problem is, like, you meet it in the woods.
Yes.
Is it as scary? You know what? Still zero, because it's like kaiju sized. So never mind.
Yeah, this thing's huge.
I don't want to meet this thing.
It's psychedelic. This is my classic six. I want to catch a glimpse.
You got to see it.
I'll stay 400 feet away. You know, I'll see what's up. I'll be ginger.
What? I don't get what? What do you mean you'll be ginger?
I don't want to excite it. I just want to see it. You know what I mean? I want to have about as much interaction with it as a lion has at the zoo. You know what I mean? I don't want to bother it. I just want to see it. Yeah.
I mean, it might not notice you because you're going to be so small compared to it, but you might get stepped on.
I just
want to
view it.
So just be careful.
You know, I'll be as safe as I can be. You know what I mean? Everything requires a little risk.
I mean, I can't lie. If they were like, hey, man, there's a cryptid going to be out here. You want to see this thing? I would be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck.
All right, I'm gonna bump it to a three. I'd still be scared for my life, but I'd go do it.
There you go.
And boys, that's where we're gonna wrap up our little episode here on the Inuit peoples, and that's not all of them. That's a lot more. Some of the Inuit peoples' mythological creatures from their religion, and as well as some cryptids in the area, and one Japanese one of the area. And I just, their creatures are freaking cool, man. Like, we've done a lot of cryptid stuff, and there's a lot of similar ones. These felt unique in a lot of ways, barring the wolf. But the way the wolf dragged the soul out of the fucking pond to kill the dude was metal as hell. That's cool as shit.
I really like the Ningen. I thought that was neat.
Mm-hmm. That's my favorite one.
I really like that. Captured my imagination.
Right? Yeah, me too. It's very imagination snatching.
All of these, actually. The other one, too.
The Ijirit. I think
that one too. That's another one that's like, what the hell? That's awesome.
So what's your favorite one of this grouping then? I'm gonna go with the last one we just did as the same thing as Alex.
Favorite one? I mean, like, look, the ones that look like they could be little Cthulhu children are pretty cool, but they're not my favorite. Obviously my favorite is the dude who is just sporting his Nikes looking for a good time. That guy's great. I love that too.
I love it. The Bigfoot, the Neanderthal version of Bigfoot. It's like the rare card.
Yeah, but he's smart enough to wear shoes because it's cold out there. Yeah.
Yeah, and he got moose skin shoes and they look great. He could sell those and make money. Great. He could adapt to the real world and jump into capitalist society, no problem. That's
not what I was thinking, but
that's it for today's episode, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate and love you. We're off to go do a minisode for patreon.com/IlluminatiPod, which is going to be me losing my mind about aliens. I know you that I can just, that's the only guarantee I can make. And then we're going to go record a rotten popcorn. And then next week, just a reminder, will be a minisode compilation. But for those of you who aren't part of the Patreon, brand new stuff for you guys. And we'll be back the week after that with episode 199. Holy crap. Ooh. Okay, we're old, baby. We're old. We're only just getting started. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Au revoir.
Anyway, me and my wife were sitting outside indulging on our porch one night, enjoying ourselves. I needed to go to the bathroom, so I stepped back inside, and after a few moments, I hear my wife go, "Holy shit, get out here." So I quickly dash back outside, and she's looking up at the sky in awe. I look up too, and there's a perfect line of dozen lights traveling across the sky. We'll be right back.
Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.